First song this morning will be number 280. 280 is the first and last verse. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway.
Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful for the opportunity that we have to come together again upon this first day of the week to conduct this service. Pray that each one that have attended it have come for no other purpose other than to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, we are thankful, Father, for the ones that are visiting among us. Could be those that are not members of the church, and there could be some that are members of the church. Whatever the case may be, we are thankful to have them, and they decided to come in among us to be able to hear from your word. Pray that men and women everywhere that have decided to assemble on this first day of the week, carrying out your will. Thankful that we live in a country whereby we can come together. Up until this moment in time, that there are no hindrance by the government or any other law officials to try to keep us from coming to worship you. Pray that it will continue to be that way here in the United States. We realize in other parts of the world, people are forbidden to be able to come together, but we just thankful in the good old United States that is not so far. At this time, may your blessing continue to be upon people that are suffering from the virus that is spread throughout the world. May they be confident in a time of need, and may as many as is possible will avoid coming in contact with it because it is so deadly. Be with the people that are in the medical field that are working so diligently toward people that have it, and then those that are trying to find in the medical field that are trying to come up with a way whereby they be able to stop this this virus or either control it. May they be successful in doing so. We do believe that will be according to your will. And Father, at this time, may your blessing be upon the sick. There are many that are mentioned here this morning. Also, as we look on the sick list in the bulletin, multitudes of people are listed there. May your blessing be with each one of them, and they can be comforted in a time of need. Those that are rendering unto them special care as far as for medical, in the medical field, may you bless them, and may they be able to deal with the illnesses and be able to give them the proper thing that will help them to have that recovery. At this time, may your blessing be with the bereaved. We are mindful of our brother Jerry Cross, which many of us here got to know him years ago, and he came back just recently in the last year to be with us, and now he's gone. May your blessing, we're thankful that we had him for this time, and may your blessing be with his daughter Vicky, who was coming with him, and other family members that related to him. Whatever we can do to comfort them in a time of need, may we do so. And Father, at this time, may your blessing be upon Brother Skippy as he stands before us shortly to be able to deliver the message of the hour. May we listen attentively to it and being able to apply the things that he will deliver to us, to our lives, helping us to be better servants of yours. And we are just thankful that we have someone who can stand before us. We do thankful that this congregation, we have other people that can fill in. And whenever we do not have him here, if he is visiting, we are just thankful to be in a congregation whereby we have this. We have some congregation that do not have it, and we just thankful here at Cross Street that we do have it. And Father, may your blessing also be with the leadership. Continue to be able to do the thing that will be beneficial to this congregation. This we do pray in Jesus' name, and amen.
This hymn, let's do the first and second verses. 1 and 2.
I travel down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I often complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say, "Don't tempt me." My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The I worked so hard for you. Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but lost. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But I will make the journey with your safe in mind. So lift your cross and follow close to me.
Christ Jesus came into the world and he demonstrated how much he loved us. He gave himself as a ransom for many. The Bible reads in John 15:13, that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus this morning, thanking you ever so much that you found us worthy of the precious body of Christ Jesus that was crucified on the cross, and he gave his life instead so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for this bread that represents his precious body. For we give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we remember Christ upon the cross, let us never forget the blood that was shed for the redemption of our sins. Help us, dear Father, as we take of this communion and this blood which signifies that great sacrifice, that we look at the full meaning of that resurrection and the life that it promises for us. We ask that we do this in a way that pleases thee. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
The song after the lesson this morning will be number 286. 286. And before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's turn and sing number 285. 285. Again, we'll do the first and last verse. And if you'd like to stand, let's stand as we sing the song.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal our soul diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide the day is done. There's not a friend like the holy Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us, no, not one, no, not one. No night so dark but his love, no, not. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Be seated, please.
The scripture this morning, coming from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 13 through 18. I'll be reading from the King James translation. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted, not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve me, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that the land, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which built the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now, Brother Skippy.
Good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to know that there is no friend like Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's always near us. And truly, he has shown us, he's brought us through many things, and he's still bringing us through many things today. It's good to see this audience. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise, eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we go into your word this morning, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us and our situations. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the thing that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What choice have you made? We make choices every day. And we're making choices even right now during this election. But this election is not the choice I want to talk about this morning. As we look at our text in Joshua 24, Joshua is about 110 years old. He is giving one final speech to the people. He gathered the people around him and to try to inspire them to one more challenge before he dies. God has been good to them. He had delivered them from slavery and wandering. And Joshua is challenging the people of Israel. You need to make a decision. There's no room for half-heartedness. There is no place for the lukewarm heart. Joshua asked the people to make a decision. And this morning, God is asking us to make a decision. But what specifically is God asking us to do? What is the choice that needs to be made? Well, first of all, let's consider number one, a command to consider. Look at verse 13. When you begin to look at verse 13, when you look back at verse 1 through verse number 13, what you're going to find is 16 times in those 13 verses that Joshua uses the pronoun I for God and followed by an action word. Joshua knew that his time on earth was about over, and he delivered a solemn charge to the people prior to the death, and he has reminded them of the grace of the abundance of God. God's goodness to them is summed up in this verse. Notice they had an inheritance, a land was filled with cities in which to dwell, and abundance of fruit and crops for them to eat. Joshua reminded them that the cities in which they now dwell, they had labor to build them. The grapes and the olives they were eating came from vines and trees that they didn't even plant. God had brought them into a land that was already prepared with great abundance. All they had to do was move in and enjoy his goodness. And then the second thing that we see is in verse 14. Then there is the charge that's given. The charge that's given. This verse starts with a connecting word, therefore. Therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Joshua 24 and verse 14 is to me the beginning of the climax of this message. In essence, Joshua is telling the people of Israel to remember the things that God has done for them, because they are forgetting it all too much in their heart. He speaks of being sincere and truthful in their service to the Lord, and to destroy the fake gods in their lives so that the real God could live in their lives once again. When you look at the word serve appears seven times in verse 14 and 15. Joshua that day called for a decision that would help end the spiritual, the
intellectual and the moral relentlessness that marks so many lives. So Joshua demands a commitment when he says, "And now fear the Lord and serve him." And how are they to serve God? They were to serve him in sincerity and in truth. When you look at the word sincerity, the word sincerity means genuine in feeling, the absence of hypocrisy. It means to serve God with a whole heart, to really mean what we are doing. As important as sincerity is, Joshua said that it cannot stand alone, but that it must be coupled with truth. Truth means you worship according to the whole counsel of God's word. You come to God in truth and not in pretense. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse number 24. And so because Joshua had witnessed enough lip service unto the Lord with no genuine activity, he didn't encourage them to talk a good talk, but put their faith in practice and actively engage in serving the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning that many of us are good at talking a good talk. We have to put our faith into action and engage in serving the Lord. He wanted them to be sincere in their service to God and seek to do so in a manner that was pleasing to him. There was no room for empty pretending. Joshua would bring these people to a point where they were forced to make a decision. The time is now to make up your mind. Decide now. I believe this morning that we need to do some house cleaning. You need to identify the gods of the past you have been beholding to. And you need to know the gods of the present that you're putting ahead of Almighty God. You need to get rid of them. You need to clean them out and have no part with them. And so Joshua says, you put away the gods your father served. Idol worship had been a problem for the Israelites. And Joshua tells the crowd, listen, they need to get rid of the gods that they father worship. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we cannot honor and please God until we are willing to put away the strange gods. You might argue that there are no idols in your life. I agree that there may not be idols that set up on a mantle. But I'm here to tell you, it may be in your garage. It may be in your closet. It may be in your basement. It may be at the workplace. It may be even money. Idols come in many forms. And even well-meaning people get caught up in idol worship. Anything in our lives that has priority over serving our God and our submission to him, I'm here to tell you, is an idol. We need to rid our lives of the idols we have established and pursue sanctified, upright lives. You will never lose anything by making Jesus the priority in your life and in your home. And now you would think a command is something we have to do. But look at verse 15. In verse 15, he said, now if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord. In other words, if you don't want to lay your life on the line, if you don't want to live for him, if you don't want to worship him, if you don't want to serve him, if you don't want to put him first in everything, if that's not what you want, then at least make up your mind who you are going to serve. who or what you are going to worship. This means, ladies and gentlemen, that we must be willing to quit straddling the fence. There are far too many individuals in the church today that are trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They don't want to make a commitment. Oh, yes, they don't. They might change, because what happens is you might change my status in the world. They don't want to give up the sin in order to be right with God. So they end up sitting on the fence and not really being part of the world and not part of the church either. Joshua challenges us to acknowledge that it is the time to make a decision. Either enter the world and live by its standards and collect its reward, no matter how temporary it is, or you make a decision to follow God wholeheartedly and without reservation. The answer for some is, well, I want to, but not now. Now is not a good time. The truth is that for some, there is never a good time. They will not come to Christ when they are up because they don't sense the need for God. They won't come to Christ when they are down because they are too proud. They won't come when they are in between because they don't even take time to think about it. And so, Joshua said, now if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Verse 15 says, the next thing is there's a choice now that you need to be made. So Joshua ends his address with what has become known as one of the most powerful and courageous testimony and witness in all scripture. Joshua says, but I'm not speaking for you. You got to make a decision. But I'm speaking for me and my household. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Oh, I tell you, sometimes it takes a leader to inspire people to action. Joshua was willing to put his family up as an example, and he challenged others to follow. See, a real leader does not bully, push, or push people to action, but they lead. They set the example. If you want your children, if you want your grandchildren to be followers of Jesus, lead them. Don't push them. Do not tell them to be what you are not willing to be. You got to make a decision. Joshua was a leader who the people respected and held in very high regard. Let me tell you something, fathers and husbands, we need to make a stand with our family and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter what the results is November the 3rd for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord because the Lord is still in control. Am I right about it? And then we need to look at verse 16 and 18, because we influence others with our choice. See, Joshua says, now listen, you got to make a choice, and I got to make a choice. And I'm choosing to serve the Lord, but I'm going further than that. I'm speaking for my household, for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. So Joshua not only influenced his own household, but also motivated many others to serve the Lord. I'm here to tell you, for bad or good, our influence always extends beyond our immediate surroundings. Look at verse 16. So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt for the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people from whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore," look at the choice, "therefore we also serve the Lord, because he is our God." When Joshua made his stand, when he showed his decision, there are other folk who realize that, listen, God brought us through some stuff, and we're going to serve the Lord this morning. I can't help but believe that some decisions for Christ have been made one way or another. Perhaps you made a decision that you would spend more time reading and meditating on God's word. Maybe you decided that you will spend more time communicating with God in prayer. Maybe you decided to earnestly seek and to live a life of holiness. Maybe you decided that I'm going to serve the Lord and be involved more. Let me tell you, it's easy to talk about what you're going to do, but are you doing it? Are you doing what you said that you were going to do? When you make a decision for Christ, I'm here to tell you, you need to count the cost. Are you willing to give your all to him? Because he wants nothing less. Are you willing to pay the cost? In Luke 14 and verse 27 through 33, I'm here to tell you, look at all that God has done for us. And he's doing for us. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to bear my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he knows, he holds the future, and life is worth living. All because my Savior lived. Because he paid a debt, he bore our sins, he fought our battles, he won our wars, he shattered the chains of sin that bound us, he gave us the opportunity for eternal life, he loved us when we were unloving. He cared for us, he comforts us, he is present with us, and he's preparing a home for us. What choice have we made? Because, church, there comes a time in your life when you got to decide who you are, whose you are, and where you are going. Each of us has to decide, each one here has to decide whether he or she would choose to really fear and serve God or not. And church, I know that you've seen a lot. I know that you've been through a lot. Some of you have been hurt more time than you remember. But I'm here to tell you that it's time for you to take your eyes off man and hold and put it on the Lord. Quit holding on to what somebody done to you. It's time for you to stop worshiping idol gods and lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's time to make a decision this morning. It's time to make a declaration on this day and say, for God I live and for God I die. It's time to make a declaration for you as individual, for you as a family, and say, come what may, tear me down if you wish. Talk about me if you wish. It doesn't matter. You can worship who you will, because as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you're here this morning, you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to make a decision this morning. Choose who you are going to serve this morning. Whether it's going to be God or whether it's going to be Satan. I'm here to tell you, we don't know what the rest of this day is going to bring. And so it behooves us to make that decision that today I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ because of what he done for me. He gave his life on Calvary so that you and I might live. God left us a plan that we got to follow. You've heard the word, believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here and a Christian, maybe you've been straddling the fence. Maybe you're trying to do what the world wants you to do and trying to do what the Lord wants you to do. That's not going to cut it. Either you're going to serve God or you're not going to serve God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Let us stand.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads I'll follow, follow Jesus every
day. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in heaven in the prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father in heaven, we humbly come to you this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you so much for another day of life, Father. We thank you for this opportunity and this avenue, Father, to be able to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you so much for the message this morning, Father, that we ask, Father, at this time, that you continue to guide us, Father, that our choice will always be to serve thee. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will continue to bless those and keep your ever-loving arms around those, Father, who's been mentioned, who are sick, those who are bereaved, Father, that you comfort them, O Lord, the only way that you can, Father. Father, we ask that you'll forgive us of our sins, and as we go through the remainder of this day, Father, that you will keep us safe. In all things we ask, and Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.